Shout it loud, hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet, please.
Our Lord is a great God. Hallelujah. A great King above all life. Our God is a great God. A great King above all, made impossibility possible. He made impossibility for Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shammah. He made impossible. Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shammah, he made it possibility. Hallelujah, he made it possibility possible. And he made it possibility possible. Stretch up your right hand to the heavenlies, beloved, and declare this louder than anyone around you. Every witchcraft kitchen preparing evil food for me in the dream. Can you say this loud and clear? This prayer is meant for the deliverance of so many people here tonight. Can you shout it again loud and clear? Fire! In the name of Jesus, command them to catch fire tonight. Yes, that's the power of God already moving. Pasikaya boshende raboko sente laba. Every witchcraft kitchen preparing evil food for me to do. Catch fire! Catch fire! Catch fire! In Jesus' name we pray. Say this again louder than that one. Again, this prayer is for so many people here tonight. Every witchcraft tree hanging the labor of my hands. Can you say this with boiling anger? Cash fire! In the name of Jesus, command the trees to catch fire. Something is happening already. Command the trees to catch fire. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Aha. Maribo sopoko yabo shente yaba. In Jesus' name we pray. Now this third one is to bring breakthroughs to thousands of people here. Every witchcraft budget. Maybe you don't understand that one. You have desired so much for your life, but they brought their own budget. No. No. You want to build a house? No, no. No. You're not supposed to have more than 1,000 naira. It is witchcraft budget. A budget of darkness. Every witchcraft budget for my life. Yeah! In the name of Jesus. Kill the budget of darkness. Kill the budget tonight. Kill the budget tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Aha, 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 aha. Thank you, Jesus. Masekate yabo shende rabakayaba. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Every dragon of my father's house that has swallowed my breakthroughs, I command your stomach to burst open. Can you say this loud and clear? I want you to put your emphasis on the burst. Can you say it again loud and clear? Yes. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Let there be a bursting. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Masekate aboshende rabokompo. Repo likatenda santa. Malakatenda raboshenta. In Jesus' name we pray. Wonderful God, we thank you for another wonderful time. I will praise your holy name for bringing us here. We thank you for tonight. We praise your holy name. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. And so, God of signs and wonders, we're gathered before you here tonight. Open our understanding. Visit us. Take us from where we are to where we're supposed to be. Shake away all the shakables in our lives. And lay your hands upon us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's have a seat. God bless you. Tonight, we're looking at what I call divine military training. Divine military training. And this message is for those who want to grow up and those who want to climb into high heights in the Almighty. Divine military training. In the book of Psalm 18 verse 34 says, he teacheth. Who is the teacher? God. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine hands. God is a trainer. God is a teacher. God is the greatest military teacher. He teacheth my hands to war. In Psalm 144 verse 1. This is another scripture like the first one. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. God trains hands in fighting. He trains fingers to fight. God is a trainer. Now, for you to become an effective battle axe in the hands of God, you need to be trained. When we say training, we are talking about preparation. We mean coaching someone. We mean educating somebody. We're talking about upbringing of somebody, guiding someone, cultivating somebody, when we talk about training. And these last days, beloved, there is a lot of scarcity of trained hands from heaven. And this is why there is so much trouble and confusion around. For you to become a battle axe in the hands of the master, the kind of person who, when you leave this planet, you will leave your footsteps on the sand of time. And as the end time is moving close, and more horrible and terrible things are happening, divine soldiers are needed at this hour, who will manifest power as the sons of God. More than at any time in the history of the church, we don't want storytellers. Neither does the church need bench warmers now. Many of us have warmed the benches for too long, until the benches are tired of our buttocks. God is not looking for such people now. He's not looking for people who just want God to solve their problem, give them husband, give them wife, give them children, give them houses, and then they settle down. No! The lamentation of heaven is still loud and clear. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers, God is looking for soldiers. I mean, how do you handle cases like this? Somebody, you're praying with somebody, and he vomits in your presence, you're not sleeping. He vomits a bird. And before you could scream and say, "Oh, what's happening?" Before you could save, before you could even call the fire of God, Holy Ghost fire, the bird said, "Look here, sir. Look here, sir. I cannot go out, no matter what you say." And before you could say, "Jesus is Lord," he had gone back inside the person. How do you handle that one? How do you handle a case when somebody gets married and every night, right from the moment that lady got to the house on wedding day, found out all the window blinds that the man had in the house were all black? She didn't understand. Every night, by 12 midnight, the man changes to a gorilla and this woman cannot talk. How do you handle that kind of case? What do you do if somebody comes to you and says, "Man of God, this pregnancy is speaking in tongues"? What do you do? What do you do when somebody comes and says, "Well, she has married 5 husbands and all of them, without exception, died after 1 year, one year for each husband"? What do you do when a man comes and says, "Well, can God still forgive me that he slept with his 10-year-old daughter because he wanted money"? What do you do if you are just, as you are sitting down there, the person at your front is scratching his head and salt is falling down? What do you do? Those are just minor cases of what is going on these days. God is looking for soldiers who will stand to address these things. Beloved, we're not talking about television Christianity or show business Christianity now. No. We're talking about reality, spiritual reality of what is going on. Beloved, when the anointing comes upon your life, the anointing that should come upon your life, even people who knew you before, we see a new you. What do you like training? Training is a process of impartation of knowledge. A period of impartation of principles. A period or a process of impartation of revelation and skill into somebody's life. It's a process where they will plant things to do into your life and then supervise your practical field activities. Read your Bible very well, beloved. All those people who were very useful in the hands of God that we're talking about today, God trained them. Very hard training. God trained Moses for 40 years before he could lead Israel. God trained Joseph, went to the land of bondage before he could become a prime minister. God trained David in the desert, in the wilderness, in the bush. He killed Goliath before he became a king. God trained Joshua, who was under Moses for years. Even Apostle Paul, God passed him through some training schools. The tougher the training, the better you become. God has a training school. Now, problem number one comes. As we are gathered here today, we are in two categories. There is a category of believer you call chicken Christians. There is another category called eagle Christians. The chicken Christians are like the chicken that you see. They are crowd followers. If chicken sees a bunch of chicken just running somewhere without knowing where they are going, the chicken will run after them. And sometimes they just fight and fight over nothing. And the chicken is always content to look at the ground. They absolutely have no interest in the heavenlies. They are living a limited and confined life. In contrast to another bird known as the eagle, God wants believers and has described Christians as eagles. The time has come now when God's people must pick up speed. God has called us to a new level of warfare. We're supposed to be like the eagle. But just like the parable of the sower, that even amongst the good seeds, there are categories again. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Even amongst those who call themselves born-again Christians, who are eagles, there are categories of eagles amongst them again. And this is where the trouble comes. The best God wants for you is to be the correct eagle that will mount up with wings. Fortunately, there are many kinds of eagles in the house of God. As you are listening to me this day, I wonder which class you belong to. There is a first kind of eagle called pleasure eagle. This pleasure eagle just flies around enjoying the lazy days of life. The pleasure eagle lives a pampered life of no work and all play. If the pampered eagle does anything strenuous, it is only for a big price. There are so many people roaming around the streets now calling themselves, I'm MFM minister, MFM pastor, MFM minister. So many of them. If you gather them in one room now and say, all of you now, you call yourself ministers, you want to stand on your feet and pray for 3 hours non-stop at the top of your voice. Some of them will be admitted in the hospital by the time we spend 1 hour. Because they're just pleasure egos. The pleasure ego can eat and sleep and run around. They eat some more food. He's just there to display. The pleasure ego is never in a hurry. And at every distraction, the pleasure ego will stop. Who are those who represent pleasure egos in the house of God? There are those who attend church, maybe during Sundays or special programs. There are those who only come to church and say, well, I'm inviting one powerful praise worship leader here today. Then they'll be there. We're bringing a musician to church. They'll be here. Whenever there is any program that involves free food, they'll be there. They don't like to carry any responsibility. By the time you say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ on Sundays, they're already on the way home. They are not interested in anything. They don't like to carry responsibilities. They will not carry any load if they can avoid it. Pleasure eagles just hang around. Plenty of them hang around this place now. Pleasure eagles, they like liberal churches. They are very safe in Orthodox denominational churches. Some pleasure eagles may even be spirit-filled, but they accomplish little or nothing all their life as Christians. Pleasure eagles will spend 365 days of the year looking after their skin. They will have almost 20 times of cream in the house to look. This for this, this for that, that for this, that for that. They are pleasure egos. They accumulate both useful and useless dresses. Pleasure egos wear a large amount of jewelry and makeup and attachment and wigs. They glitter so much on the outside, but the inside is dirty and powerless. It is when they have a bad dream and they quickly remove the jewelry, rub off the paint, and smooth poof the scarf on their ears and run to press it. But immediately they have some level of peace. They go and get their lipstick and their chain and their bangle and their jewelry back and begin to say, it's not that hard, it's not that hard. But there are places where you cannot find pleasure egos in the church. You will never find them in the children ministry. It's too much hard work. You won't find them cleaning up the church. Never. They are not interested, they are too big. You won't find them in all night prayer meetings. It is too strenuous. You won't find them in house fellowship. That's the time they watch their television. They don't come to group meetings because it wastes their time and because the person in charge does not understand English language. You won't find them in prayer meetings. They just come, they change church as if they are changing on their ways, and immediately they go to a place, even if there is only 50 people there, and one man calls himself a general overseer, and the man says, I will make you assistant general overseer. They run away. They run away from their church and become assistant general overseer somewhere. They fail to realize that there will be no maturity in Jesus if your life is always comfortable or you just like fun. Are you a pleasure eagle? When you are seeking for miracles and miracles and miracles alone instead of a genuine change of heart, you become a pleasure eagle. Unfortunately, the verdict of heaven is this: all pleasure eagles shall roast in hellfire. Then the devil, who is the eater of flesh, will then use them as snacks. Those are the first kind of eagles. Show. The second kind of eagle that you find plenty of them in the house of God, we call them show glass eagle. Very proud. They look good outside, but that's all they have. They carefully comb their hair and comb every strand of mustache. If you check their purse or their bag, although it's a man, you will see hair cream inside the bag. You will see perfume inside his bag. It's a man. Plenty of them in the house of God. They are the handsome men and the beauty queens. Plenty, plenty of old people who refuse to grow old. They know how to dress and walk for show. They always like the more visible ministries. Any ministry where everybody will be seeing them at the front. Yes. That's the kind of thing they want. If they are usherers or ushers, their shoes will be the tallest and their dress will be the slimmest. They like visible ministries. They are willing to fight if there is somebody to clap for them. Until such people are truly broken in their character and in their attitude, they will not be useful in the kingdom of God. When your heart is seeking for the approval of men, the reward is the same like that of the hypocrite, because you are doing the thing for men to notice you. When you are seeking to be noticed by men, you are a show ego, show glass ego. The body of Christ is so full of this kind of show egos now. They like to display. It is when you give them serious assignment, they now disappear. If there is a project to do, if you don't give them the glory for it, they run away. They would rather go to churches where they are pampered, appreciated, and noticed. And they do a lot of harm to the church of God. God will not share his glory with anyone. And we cannot expect God to use us if we will not come down for our show glass life and humble ourselves. It is sad, but it is true that 75% of the body of Christ is made up of pleasure and show egos. The third kind of ego is the kind of ego God wants all of us to be. It's the work egos. Work egos. Unfortunately, only 15% of church members carry the church. 50% of them are the ones who will roll up their sleeves, roll up their trousers, and get to work. These work egos are the ones who are dependable and reliable for God. When trained for a special task, they will do it to the satisfaction of God. And you can always count on them anytime. They find great satisfaction in working for their master. They are not happy when they see the things of God dragging in the ground. It is not them who say, well, it's their church. It's their church. Each of us, beloved, we have a fixed amount of time here on this earth. The hours, minutes, and seconds are counted by God. They were conducting a funeral service. And this man, somebody was reading a speech by the tomb side. Serious burial ceremony. Looking back now, I used to still feel very, very sorry for myself in those days. Because as small boys and small girls in the choir in those days, when they want to bury people, it is we who will enter the cemetery first. Jesus lives, thy terrors now. And we go on into the cemetery. Small boys and small girls who don't know what they are doing. We are fighting like that into the cemetery. And somebody began to read. This man here who died is the president of Shine Your Light Association. Is the patron of the Red Cross. A wonderful lover of sports. A great man of timber and caliber. As he was talking, there was a prophecy from the back. Hear the word of the Lord. Why are you telling lies here? As far as God is concerned, this man weighed nothing and he has gone to hellfire. And as many of you as will leave this burial and go home to eat rice in their house, the rice will become sawdust in your stomach. My peace be unto you. I'll tell you something. Even our pastor, as bold as he was, did not eat anything in that place. Sometimes we pamper ourselves, but God sees everything you do. Work eagles do hard work. Very hard work. So this is where we are today now. The Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, 2 from verse 11. Those that will be the proper ego, that is the way the Almighty trains them. Many of us may be passing through that school now, and we are binding and losing, and it's not working. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. As an eagle steereth up a nest, fluttereth over a young, spreadeth abroad a wings, taketh them, beareth them on a wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty stone. There are many characteristics of the eagle that you can look at, and that's why God wants us to be eagles. Eagles build wonderful nests. They build some of the largest nests in the world. Eagles make wonderful mothers. They build probably the most comfortable and complicated nest of all birds. The eagle will take care to line the nest with softest feathers she can find. So when the eaglets are born, she will give them complete and undivided attention. She will fill that nest with delicious food to last throughout the day. Nothing is too good for the young eaglets, as their mother gives them many precious things. And this young eaglet will be enjoying itself. After several weeks, the young eaglet notices that mother eagle suddenly changes. She just comes to this beautiful nest, tears out the feather, break the nest, overturn this comfortable home,
and will begin to push out the eaglets one by one. As these young eaglets are aiming to the ground to fall to the ground, the mother eaglet will fly below them, collect them on her wings. Will carry them to the safety of the sky again, only to tilt her wing for them to fall again. And at this time, the bird will begin to flap its own wings. And in that flight, in the fear, the eaglet will discover that it too can fly. I want you to understand. Do you want God to use you? Then, do you want God to train you? If He will train you in His divine military school, the first thing He's going to do to you is that He will destroy your nest. He will destroy that nest. God is more interested in our spiritual revival than in our comfort. God will have to destroy the comfort of many of us to be able to get at us. Have you not read the immortal words of Paul in the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at the immortal words of Paul there. You want to be enrolled in the military school of the Almighty so that you'll be useful in His hand. Like Mother Eagle does to the eaglet, the first thing He will do for you is to destroy your comfort nest. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These people that the Bible has just described, they are not going to a different heaven. The same one you and I say we want to go. You can see what they pass through. Any small discomfort, some people start crying. Any small discomfort, you see people rolling up and down. Any small discomfort, you find so-called people who say they are called of God crying like a baby. The other time, a pastor was crying in my room. A very fat pastor.
He said they transferred him from a church that has 500 people to a church of 200 people. Hey, this is unfair. Joe.
I said, was I the one that transferred you?
No, it's our regional vice, but you must do something. Any father of all of us.
He did not want to leave his comfort zone, not knowing sometimes that those comfort zones, they are suicide areas. And the dry place that he does not want to go to, that is where his fire will fall on Mount Carmel. Look at these people here. They were stoned. They put them on wood and cut them the way they cut wood as sawmill. And we're going to the same place. The destruction of the nest of those eaglets forces them to learn to fly. The mother releases them, catches them, takes them up again, drop them. When they're about to smash on the floor, catches them again until they now begin to learn to fly. God destroys our nest in order for us to learn how to fly. I remember the story of that brother today. God said, son, resign your work in the bank and work for me. He said, Lord, I'm already working for you. I'm Sunday school superintendent. I'm this and that. I don't want to depend on anybody. I want to depend on church members contributing money before I feed my family. Let me be doing it like this. I want to be doing it like this. And so God kept quiet. One day, only God knew how it happened. He took a train from Edo, going to a place they call Idogo. He was the only one who fell down from the train. Was the only one the train crushed his hand. So the train crushed one hand. So they cut that hand off. It was useless. Remaining only one. Right there in the hospital bed, the Holy Spirit came again. Said, son, are you ready to preach now? Or shall I cut off the second one? He now began to preach with one hand. He did not want to leave his comfort zone. God had to shake him out of it. There are many sisters sitting down here, listen to me, who would not have become prayer warriors if they married a good husband. But when they received dirty slap day and night, look at the case of that sister. She was sitting down in her sitting room and this strange woman walked in. And I said, hey, madam, I want to borrow your husband for 2 weeks. And he said, oh yeah, pack your bag and follow me. And the woman was not sleeping. Her husband just went in and packed his things and followed the strange woman. She wanted to fight. Does somebody say, fight? What fight do you want to fight now? The husband has been caged. That's what made her a prayer warrior. Before that time, anywhere they are gathered in Lagos and they are singing music, he'll be there dancing away at night. But then, now that there is a problem, she did deliverance and deliverance and deliverance. God had to shake her out of that comfortness of marriage for her to be serious. I want you to understand this. When you are inside the comfortness, I don't want to leave your comfort zone. He will shake you out. There are some men who keep writing letters. I'm failing my exam. Pray for me that I pass. Well, it's not the enemy making them to fail. It's the Almighty say, well, I ask you to work. You're not working. You will fail until you become serious. Then when they now calm down, listen. Then they begin to move the way God wants them to move. God wants to shake you. First of all, shake you out of your comfort zone. Then as you learn to fly, then the anointing comes upon you. Spiritual power does not come without sacrifice and discipline. And whenever a miracle is going to happen in your life, it will be preceded by turbulence. The anointing is released when you begin to move. Jordan did not move until the children of God stepped their feet into it. And all the struggle you are struggling will lead to your destiny once you are out of that comfort zone. God trains his people the way the eagle is trained. And you need to understand this, beloved, very, very well. The destruction of the nest forces the eagle to learn to fly. When God wants to grab a person, one way you can know whether God has really grabbed a person is money and is God. Those who make acquisition of money their goal without giving things to God, you know that they have not arrived. You cannot take your money to heaven, beloved, but you can't always send it ahead. So this is why God sometimes has to overturn that comfort nest. It's a pity. There are some people at 25 years old, they are already dead. Because they stopped going spiritually, Although their funeral is postponed till they are around 60, but they stopped going when they were 25 years old. God overturns your nest if he finds that you don't want to go spiritually. Sadly, a lot of Christians are playing games with God. Many, although they are adults, they are still behaving like children. You behave externally like an adult, but inside you are a spiritual baby. You can't play games with God. You need to grow up. You need to understand that you are in war. And that war that you are in, if you do not fight, you are looking for trouble. And he will first of all shake you out. And when he shakes you out of that comfort zone, then you begin to do what he wants you to do. You need to cry out to the Lord here today, beloved. The Lord, help me to obey you while everything is going on well. Help me to obey you when I have a good job, a home, a family and children. Let your goodness lead me to repentance. Help me to know your will in every department of my life. And Father, send me as laborer into your harvest. I want you to understand this very well, beloved. You may be going through difficult times now. You need to examine why you are going through it. The punishment of the Israelites by Pharaoh helped to encourage them to decide to leave Egypt. So many times as Christians, our disappointment, problems, sorrow, discomfort are overturned nests. Overturned nests meant to train us. Many of what we call problems, they are growth classes. And many of us will not be in our present spiritual state if everything was bread and butter. God in many cases have to upset us before he can set us up properly. When God tears our net, many will cry, I need deliverance. But as it's not deliverance they need. God never disturbs our nest without a purpose. And when he sees that you have settled down, you are not doing what he wants you to do, you just want to settle down and enjoy yourself and begin to roam around and think that salvation is just accumulation of this, accumulation of that. Or like in the former church where I was many years back, from the choruses we sing, it will appear as if we don't sometimes understand what salvation is because of the way what we believe it is. The greatest enemy of our spiritual growth is this desire for comfort and material possession. When there was a creaking fan and mosquitoes used to wake a person up to pray, it was on fire. But now that there is AC and automatic mosquito killers, no prayer again. Okay, you don't want to pray. So are you there, MD? Put his name on retrenchment list. Then they retrench the person. No money to pay for automatic AC again. Then he goes back to his prayer altar.
God is talking to many people here today. Enough of playing games with the Almighty. Do you want Him to train you? Then stop playing games with God. Stop shifting blame. Look at yourself in the eye and say, it's me. I need to change. Right there where you are, beloved, I'd like you to bow down your heads. Bow down your heads. If God does not want to use you, it's not His fault. It's that something is wrong that He wants you to correct. Can you talk to the Lord where you are? Say, Father, I want you to use me. Anything in my life that is making you to look for somebody else, anything in my life that is making heaven to declare my position vacant. When Isaiah was alive, he was a palace prophet. And yet God was saying in heaven, who shall I send? Who will go for me? Meaning that his position had already been declared vacant in the notice board of heaven. Say, Father, anything in my life that will not make you to use me, no matter how I love it, take it out. Take it out. Begin to talk to the Lord now. Amen. We're coming to pray some prayers here. Serious prayers. Some people say, experience is the best teacher. I beg to disagree. Experience is sometimes not the best teacher. If somebody gives you a bottle of acid, and you say, I want to experience what it will be like to drink the bottle, you will not be alive to share the experience. Because you will have killed yourself. I want to see what it is like when you see signboard at the road that this is a very tight corner. Slow down. I want to explain what it is going to look like to speed into the place. You may not remain alive to share part of your experience. So experience is not sometimes the best teacher. Don't wait for the rod of God to throw you out of your nest. Better jump out yourself. Rise up on your feet. I want you to lay your hands on your chest. And the first prayer I want you to pray is this. Arrows of lukewarmness, jump out of my heart. Can you say it loud and clear? In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to cast out this evil arrow. The one that is making you lukewarm. In Jesus' name we pray. The prayers I want you to pray now, we have a very short time to pray them. So immediately you hear prayer from your heart. The first prayer we're going to pray is the prayer of divine visitation. As many people as want the heavens to open upon their life, they should pray with all their hearts. This prayer is greater than all other kinds of prayers. Because merely God is able to count on you as one of His soldiers. You overcome every warfare targeted against your life. Say, oh heavens, over my spiritual life, open in the name of Jesus. Pray for open heavens over your own spiritual life. Deal with the heaven of brass. Deal with the brassy heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, my life in the word of the Lord, open to divine deliverance. In the name of Jesus, open to divine deliverance. In the name of Jesus. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Every power of my Father's are standing as a doorkeeper to my soul. Can you say this with holy anger? Yes. Santa. In Jesus' name we pray. Every masquerading enemy of my spiritual life, can you shout it loud and clear? Every masquerading enemy, yeah! In the name of Jesus, the masquerading enemy of my spiritual life, yes. Jesus' name we pray. Say by fire, by thunder, by lightning, I fight in the spirit of Elijah. Can you shout it loud and clear? Yes. In the name of Jesus. By fire, by thunder, by lightning. Yes. Masokaya boshentera bakaya ba. Fight in the spirit of Elijah. In Jesus' name we pray. Every power delaying the manifestation of God in my life. Manifestation of God in my life. Yes. Masekaya boshenteraba. Boribo sopondekaya boshenteraba. In Jesus' name we pray. Every satanic intelligence walking against my spiritual life, scatter! In the name of Jesus, scatter the satanic intelligence. Yes. Masekaya boshente rabarabo. Maribo soponde kaya boshente rabar. In Jesus' name we pray. Say every obituary written against my destiny by the powers of darkness. Can you shout with his only anger? Death! In the name of Jesus, deal with the obituary. Yes. Masekaya boshendera bokosuntena. In Jesus' name we pray. Every Pharaoh that is pursuing my Israel, rush into the Red Sea and die. Can I hear you saying this loud and clear? In the name of Jesus, command them to rush into the Red Sea. Masekaya boshendera bokotenda santa. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, whether I like it or not, whether the devil likes it or not. Oh God, our Lord, and make me your battle axe. In the name of Jesus, make me your battle axe. I want to become your battle axe. In Jesus' name we pray. What was that prayer point you prayed again? Give that prayer 5 minutes before you go to bed tonight. Let us share the grace in fellowship.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,